Mini episode 428 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special joint segment of Sportsology and the FDH Lounge today. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris. It is time for our 2014 Stanley Cup Final Preview. This is a panel that we've done previously with these gentlemen. Going to be some really great hockey talk. Of course, when you're talking about the FDH Lounge and Sportsology, the man who is the glue in that particular alliance is, of course, my good friend Russ Cohen, the proprietor at Sportsology and a longtime FDH Lounge dignitary himself. And it is great to get him on the phone lines with us here. And also, Keith Kornowuk from Stick Tap TV. He has a background, Keith does, in covering the Kings specifically, as well as the entire NHL. Russ, with a ton of background covering the Rangers, as well as the entire NHL. Of course, Russ Cohen, previously author of 100 Ranger Greats, and now 100 Things Ranger Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. So a great panel here today with Russ Cohen and with Keith Kornowuk. Pleasure to get them both on the program. Guys, how you doing? I'm looking forward to this one.
Hey, boys. Looking forward to it as well. Thanks for having us.
Pleasure to have you on. It's going to be a great conversation with you fellas. I know that. And we are coming off of a really, really great conference final. I think I'd like to probably start there because we really need to do that justice before we jump into this. And, again, the Western Conference, second year in a row, Chicago and the Kings, and coming down to it, it was a much better conference final, obviously, this year than it was a year ago. And it's a situation where, ultimately, when you see how everything shook out there, it was really, it looks to be, I would say, probably the best rivalry that we have seen in the NHL, probably, maybe if you go back to Detroit and Pittsburgh in the Cup Final for the second year in a row a couple of years ago. So, Keith, I'll start with you on that one there. What was your sense? What do you think are some of the big headlines, the big takeaways from that as far as the way that the rivalry is developing, the stakes behind it? Quite possibly some are saying maybe the best playoff series that we've seen this decade. What were some of your thoughts, aside from obviously on a personal level exhilaration, but beyond that, thoughts on this rivalry and the way that it's shaping up?
Well, I mean, first of all, I never thought I'd be having this conversation when the Kings were down 3-0 against San Jose. So the fact that we're here is pretty incredible. But, you know, one of the things, and I counted them out numerous times, is you can't count out the resiliency of the Los Angeles Kings. You know, the amount of character that was shown on a nightly basis against Chicago, even when they were down, I mean, so many times they had to come back. And the fact that they did is pretty amazing. And it also shows the maturity of this team. You know, obviously last year they were banged up, but I still think Chicago was the better team. But I think the Kings really took another step forward. And, you know, it's nice having the right pieces in the right time and the right places, being able to spread out the scoring among, you know, more than just a top line. So, you know, it certainly has become a great rivalry. And, you know, you take a look at the Chicago Blackhawks, you know, one goal away from, you know, being the Kings and being in this conversation. I don't think you could look at two more evenly matched teams, you know, when you're looking at the forwards and the defense and the goaltending. You know, what an amazing series. And, you know, you got to give credit to the LA Kings and the heart that they showed there.
Absolutely. And I know we got Russ on now. Russ, I apologize. I was having trouble bringing you up there for a second, but I know I got you.
That's
in
okay.
Now. What were your thoughts in watching this? I know you are obviously quite the historian. So when you're looking at a series like Chicago and L.A. and the rivalry that we've seen in recent seasons between them, how do you kind of slot that in hockey history when you see something like that? I mean, one of the things that comes to my mind is obviously my Detroit Red Wings with Colorado years ago. There was a lot of personal hatred there that you don't see in this series. But that same level of excellence between two teams and the stakes seemingly just couldn't be higher when they are playing. So thoughts on that series and that budding rivalry?
Yeah, Detroit, Colorado is a real good example. That series was tremendous. I mean, it really, I never thought the Blackhawks were going to lose, but I didn't think they were going to lose when they were down 3-1 either. Like, a lot of people sort of counted them out. And that's a team that knows how to win and knows how to come back. And again, at the end of the day, you look at the kind of goal that went in, you shake your head and you say, yeah, it figures a goal like that sort of went in, because, you know, that's what's going to happen when two teams that play so close match up like that. And, you know, somebody's got to win, somebody has to lose. But I really loved the series. I will say it was a cleaner series than Rangers-Canadians, that's for sure. So in that regard, not much cheap shotting. So that was nice to see as well. And let's face it, this is going to – unfortunately, this Stanley Cup will get a lot of, like, football talk, and people will say, well, this is like the NFC Championship game, and it's always better than the Super Bowl. And I'm kind of hoping that that's not the case, but I know there's going to be a lot of that talk out there.
Well, you're really not going to like my follow-up then, Russ, because one of my thoughts was, if we're talking Colorado and Detroit, there's two examples that I'm thinking of here, 1996 and 2002, where the Stanley Cup final sort of seemed like a foregone conclusion, and honestly it was. What everybody thought was right mm-hmm. going in happened. You've got the Kings right now as a very big favorite at this point. I'm almost a little bit surprised at how high, given the fact that they're coming off a 3-7-game series, which just has to be exhausting, but what do you see about the Rangers that kind of sets them apart from Florida in 96, Carolina in 02, to where people thought of them as being cannon fodder, and they absolutely were?
Well, from Florida, I mean, it really was all Van Beesbrook. I mean, there was really not much else on that team. The Rangers have a lot more than that, so I know they're better than that Florida team. Then the Carolina team, if nothing else, Lundqvist pads look a lot better than Archer's. Urbays look like they, you know, fall off the pickup truck from a place out in the Midwest. So I think in that regard, they've got them beat on style points. But I honestly think that at the end of the day, the part – and both teams are going to swear that they've, you know, been dissed and everybody counted them out. And that's always true, and everybody always likes to use that to sort of motivate. But I think at the end of the day, the part about the Rangers that gets really overlooked is – how their defense will suck the life out of a good offense. And that's the part that's not really being talked about right now because it's not sexy. It's sexier to talk about guys like Gabrick and Carter and guys who could score a lot and do score a lot, and Toffoli, who, by the way, I always said was a first-round talent. I saw something online the other day, and as a prospect guy, it made me cringe when one of the beat writers somewhere in the world said, oh, yeah, see, we were told Tyler Toffoli wasn't a good enough skater to play in the NHL. And I'm thinking, you know, didn't you fall for that with Luke Robitaille? Why would you fall for that again? But some of these guys do fall for that. And so at the end of the day, I think that's the real matchup is, can the Rangers slow the Kings down enough to where the game is manageable for them? Because let's face it, the Rangers don't have a high-powered offense, and they're not scoring 4 goals a game.
Hey, how about that, Keith? A nice Luke Robitaille reference there. But what do you think when you're looking at this in terms of you do have a situation where your Kings obviously come in as big favorites, and the conventional wisdom in the league obviously is that they and Chicago are the two best teams, and maybe at this point you draw a line underneath them. Maybe some people would even go that far. But how much of an underdog mentality does L.A. still manage to hold on to given the fact that they've been stretched every series like they have?
Well, let me first start off by saying that we're 8 minutes into this, and no one has said it's the King versus the Kings. And thank God for that, because I think it's the most
normal. Yeah, I'm not doing it. Life. I won't do
you
it.
no cliches here.
Yeah, I think Daryl Sutter has been great about keeping the Kings, fairly grounded and keeping that underdog mentality going. But, you know, just like the Kings a couple of years ago, I mean, 8 seed, you know, everybody counted them out, and they went and won it all. And you have to look at the way the Rangers are playing, and, you know, the guy who won the cup for the Kings was really Jonathan Quick, and Jonathan Quick is not posting numbers anywhere near the way he was a couple of years ago, and Lundqvist is playing fantastic hockey right now, and if there's anyone that can steal a game or even a series, it's going to be Henrik Lundqvist. So, you know, there's a lot to worry about there. You know, I love how balanced the Rangers' defense is. And, you know, I mean, talk about taking a sad situation and turning into a positive. I mean, you know, the Rangers are like 7-2 since, you know, San Luis Mombat. I mean, they're playing with a lot of heart and passion. So, yeah, I mean, I know Bodog and some of those sites have the Kings as heavy favorites, but, you know, the Rangers should not be taken lightly. I think I see the series as being a lot more evenly matched than it's maybe playing on paper or the way a lot of the media is spinning it. And, you know, I think the Kings know that they have to be humble. They have to go in. And, you know, there's one other thing. The Kings have home ice in this. Now, we've won three straight game sevens, but they've been on the road. So if this goes to a game seven at home, I'm not liking the Kings' chances. But I think this is going to be a really great series. And, you know, I think while I had Chicago, I think the two best teams are playing each other in the Stanley Cup Finals.
I'm glad Keith said it. For one thing, the one cliche that I hate that fans use is, well, the better team didn't win or the best team's not in it. And what Keith said is true. The best teams are in it because they wouldn't be in it otherwise. It's just the way it is, matter of attrition. But another thing is, I don't understand Bodog. It's like, can't we just have odds the way they used to be, like 5-1, 10-1? Well, what the hell is this fancy odds? Why do I have to think so hard about what this means? Like, if it's 3-2, like, you know, I'm not a math major. I'd like to go back to the old odds. And then the other important thing I think to point out is the one flaw that I've noticed during the Kings' run here is some of their older players do get run down at times. The Rangers are a fast-skating team, and they do take some lazy penalties. Now, if the Rangers take advantage on the power play, that could be a nice thing for them, but they don't always do that.
Well, just a quick counterpoint on that, though, Russ, as far as the best teams being there. And, again, I, like the rest of the world, thought that the best two teams were playing in the Super Bowl last year. In retrospect, they weren't. In retrospect, it was the NFC Championship game that set it up. Can you ever really say that it's the best two teams if it looks like the top two teams are in one conference? And by definition, one of the two is going to get knocked out before they get there. And I think if it were, again, if it were Boston coming out of the East, I don't think people would have that much qualms about saying, okay, well, it's the best two teams. It's Boston. They survived it. But the Rangers were really kind of a middling act for a good part of the season here. I think that's what a lot of people are kind of looking at. If we're going to make the NFL analogy again, maybe a little bit more akin to the Packers, the Giants of recent years, those would be good precedents for the Rangers because those teams won it all. But isn't that why a lot of people are looking at this? Because of the bracketing of the Eastern Conference and the way that everything shook out and the fact that they didn't even have to go through Boston to get here?
Sure. I mean, there's no question about it. But, I mean, we saw other years where even people like me thought the West was better and Boston still won a Stanley Cup, right? I mean, so for whatever reason, in the last decade, we tend to say the West is better no matter what, but yet some Eastern teams are still winning. So that's all. It's just, you can't say until you see it happen, but yeah, the Super Bowl was lopsided, no question. I don't think the Cup will be that lopsided. I don't.
No, I think most people would probably agree with that. By the way, Russ, I know you always like when I'm able to find any kind of really, really bizarre, deep-digging kind of trivia, and I may have outdone myself here with this one. Of course, the Rangers in the Stanley Cup Final and winning it in 1994, the Kings in it in 1993. This is the first matchup of two teams that were in the Cup 20 years ago and 21 years ago since 1978. Montreal played Boston. Actually, Montreal and Boston played each other in 57 and 58. So it was the same two teams 20 years and 21 years. But this is I don't know what that tells us about who's going to win this time, Ross. I don't know what use that is, but there you have it.
It's good fodder. It tells me nothing.
I'm like Rain Man with this crap. Yeah, I just keep digging until I find something like that. But, Keith, I want to ask you about this because you mentioned about the Lundqvist angle there. And that's one that I find to be very interesting as well. When we're talking storylines as well as on ice, because when you look at the last decade here in the league and the fact that there haven't really been any contenders besides Lundqvist to the crown of Brodeur and Waugh and Hasek, the big three, there have been a lot of guys that have kind of come and gone, you know, Kiprusoff and Ward and Fleury and Thomas. Lundqvist has been the one guy that's had legs, but he's never made it this far before, versus for the Kings there, again, your point is well taken that Quick has not been playing as well this postseason. Nevertheless, he's going to have two cups if they win this series here. So he's going to be able to maybe, you know, have something to say about edging Lundqvist out of the way on the historical ladder if he ends up with two and Lundqvist ends up with none. So what are your thoughts on the goaltending battle here? Because there's a lot to do, obviously, with the historical weight of this thing as well as what these guys are bringing to it in the here and now and how they're playing.
Well, I think so much of it is coaching and, you know, and also the team that the general manager puts on the ice out in front of them. And, you know, Glenn Seder hasn't put out the best cast for Lundqvist. And, you know, the coaching, you know, I think Vigneault is a great coach. And, you know, I think the reason why the Canucks lost to the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup is because he had the Sedins on the top line. And you know what? They're just, you know, you don't have that with the Rangers. They're a tougher team. You know, now, you know, they're a lot more balanced than they used to be. So I think it's definitely, I think finally Lundqvist has a team in front of him that caught fire at the right time. And, you know, look, anytime you start the playoffs, everything is reset. It doesn't matter whether you're the eighth seed or the first seed. And, you know, I think that this Ranger team, you know, I think Lundqvist, I think he's a generational goaltender. And, you know, Jonathan Quick benefits from the fact that he's got a really good defense in front of him, playing a really good defensive system. I mean, Anze Kopitar, you know, one of the best defensive forwards in the league. And, you know, he's benefited from that. And now you're seeing, I think, a much more balanced New York Rangers team that I think this is going to be a really good duel. But I think at the end of the day, if Lundqvist doesn't play at the top of his game, then I think it's definitely the Kings series. But, you know, I'd be hard to debate that there's a better goaltender in the National Hockey League, than Lundqvist, regardless of, you know, who's got what trophies at this point.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you got to put Tuukka Rask right there probably. But, yeah, I mean, Lundqvist, with the weight that he has historically. Russ, what are your thoughts on that? How big is this for Henrik Lundqvist as far as his place among the all-time greats, especially given the fact that you can never guarantee you're going to get back to this point?
Well, I think his place is fine because Eddie Jockerman only made it to the Cup 2, lost to Bobby Orr and the Bruins. No real big deal there because it was Bobby Orr and the Bruins, and Ritel had a broken leg, right? So it didn't hurt Jockerman long-term, and it wouldn't hurt Lundqvist long-term if he lost either, because he already has every single Ranger record you could possibly have. Shutouts, regular season wins, pretty much everything at this young age. So he's just going to be setting the bar higher and higher for the next poor schlubs that have to come in net after him. But I think as far as the series goes, I think, you know, Quick is definitely up to the task, and he had a point there of about 12 games where he was extremely hot. And that definitely helped the Kings. Yeah, the Kings do have a great defense, but I've seen Quick make some real athletic saves and get a lot of guys shaking their head too. So I think the goaltending matchup is a great matchup, but I don't think in hockey you could ever match up a goaltending matchup and say that's going to be the difference, because it is about the guys in front of them. Hockey's more of a team sport than a lot of these other sports, where if you're matching up two pitchers in baseball and you're coming down to, you know, a series and you say these guys are going to pitch three times, you could do that. And that's a better matchup. I think that's better than trying to match up goalies and figuring out what's going to happen.
Very well said, Russ. And again, when you start to look at the X's and O's here, the reason that LA, of course, is the big favorite is the offensive punch that they bring to bear. They have Drew Doughty on the blue line. They have the big things here. But when you start to dig into it a little bit, what I found to be very interesting is that there's a number of similarities between the teams, that they're both very, very strong in the puck possession. Both of them are more willing than some teams to roll four lines and trust the depth. And a team like the Rangers, as you and I have talked about off air, some of that is the fact that they aren't as top-heavy offensively. There's maybe a little bit less difference between the four lines, and maybe that's what leads to some of the confidence in terms of rolling with them, and maybe having, you know, feeling like there's nothing to lose on that, on trusting them. But what are your thoughts on some of the similarities that we see here and how that may affect the style of play? It may almost be like looking into a mirror from time to time.
Well, there's definitely, similarities. Rangers' best line is their fourth line, right? So, I mean, that's something where I'm not sure if you're looking at the Kings' top line and always saying that's their best line. I think lately I think it's their second line with Toffoli and Pearson. It seems like that's the Kings' best line lately. And so I think both teams, they aren't relying on their top lines as sort of being that line. They're getting balanced scoring, as you'd like to say, all the way through. The other thing is, as I just mentioned, Toffoli, the Rangers have Kreider. So each team does have a certain amount of young guys that have been contributing. And that's something that I've noticed over the last 4 or 5 years that almost every Cup team has had, is they've had to have an injection of youth to some degree, maybe because of the legs, maybe just because of what you can do when you're younger and you don't care. Whatever that is, that seems to help the mix too. So, and then if you look at the blue lines, Drew Doughty is a big difference as far as an offensive defenseman who could take it end-to-end. The Rangers don't have that, but the Rangers have done a better job lately of getting guys like McDonough and Strawman and a couple of their other guys that are decent puck movers to get the puck up as far as up the ice they can before they have to make the first pass, because early in the season they were making two or three just to get it up to center ice, and that was a problem. So they've corrected that, and McDonough's having a career year, and he's done a tremendous job, and he does step up offensively into the play and everything else to sort of make up for that deficiency of not having the number one sort of Brian Leetch-type defenseman. So I think, again, I think both defense cores are very, very similar and very deep and fast. I mean, I think we're looking at two of the fastest defense cores that basically are in the league, too. I mean, Chicago has a good one, too, but I saw Seabrook breaking down in that last series, and McDonough didn't have some good play early on in Philly because he definitely was dinged up. But that was the last time we saw any real bad play out of McDonough. Everything else has been pretty stellar. So I think matchup of the blue lines is real good.
Absolutely. Keith, what are your thoughts on how all these different elements are going to affect the X's and O's and the matchups and the way the teams are going to be adjusting to one another? Because it does seem like there's going to be some really intriguing similarities as well as the obvious differences that people point to.
Well, I think defensively the teams match up a lot closer than, you know, people would think. I mean, sure, Drew Doughty is maybe the sexier name because he's got the gold medal and, you know, he's Mr. Canada at this point. And, you know, I probably say that because I'm Canadian as well. But, you know, you look at this Rangers defense and, you know, I think there are a lot of similarities there. You know, forwards, I think, you know, certainly LA is a little bit more diverse now, you know, the addition of Marian Gabrick, who we'll see what kind of chip he has on his shoulder going into this, you know, this matchup will be interesting. But, you know, they're getting scoring from, you know, all four lines. And, you know, I'd agree with Russ. I mean, you know, Pearson, Toffoli, and Carter have been a really interesting line to watch. But then, you know, you can't count on a guy like Justin Williams. You know, Andrei Kopitar was a little quiet against the Chicago Blackhawks, but his line mates were still scoring. You know, Gabrick had a couple, you know, does well. So, yeah, you maybe give the advantage to the Kings as far as the forwards go. But, you know, these are two tough teams. They're going to have to wear each other down and see what happens. And, you know, I, for one, am thrilled that Carcillo isn't going to play because I think he's a guy that
can
really get under.
Well, you don't know that yet.
Well, there, right, we don't. Doesn't he have five or six games left?
Well, they're going to be meeting on Friday.
Ah.
I think, didn't I say that they're – unless that's old, unless they met and it came out already, I didn't see it. But I thought I saw that they're meeting or not Friday, but in the next day or two. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to look that up while we're talking. But he's probably not playing. You're probably right. But I know that he was definitely – he was trying to get it lessened. And I don't know. You know, he appealed. But let me see. I got to see what happened with that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Keith. Sorry.
No, I mean, I think a guy like Carcillo could really get under the skin of the Kings. And, you know, they've had some penalty trouble, especially against Chicago in that series. So someone like that could be a difference maker. And he was up until he got his suspension. So I think this is going to be a really, really interesting series. And, you know, the last time, you know, when the Kings played the Devils, I mean, it was pretty certain that the LA was going to win. You know, I don't have that confidence going into this. I could see it going to distance, get another 7-game series. So I think it's going to be a lot more interesting than some of the bloggers and journalists out there are making this series out to be.
Very close.
There's been
2 years ago.
Sorry,
it was almost the Devils, or it was almost the Rangers and the Kings then. Now the Devils upset the matchup there, but we were very close. Well, and in terms of some of the big media angles also, and we've been talking about a lot of the names in the series, there's a lot of intriguing names out there, and it just strikes me off the top of my head, maybe a few more than we've seen in past years. I may be wrong about that, but we talked
Rick, you're going to hate me. It was last Friday, and the decision comes tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. So not long after
we're
changing.
Done with
this.
It just seems like it's changing every 10 minutes. Nobody really knows. Sorry.
Developing situation, as it were. Okay. Well, we'll stay on top of that. We talked about Lundqvist, that it's going to be his first cup final. The same is true also for Rick Nash, who is somebody who came into the league with great fanfare, who I think it's safe to say people would have assumed he would have made it there before this year. Very interesting that you have a guy on each team with the last name of Richards who has won the Cup in the past and has seen better days. That's kind of an interesting little thing there. They have that in common. Neither one of them is playing their best these days. Marion Garrett versus the Rangers. He was, again, considered by a lot of Ranger fans to be a letdown through the course of his career in New York. And Marty San Luis, who is somebody that I've talked about with you previously, Russ, who I would hold up there as being arguably maybe the best forward of the first decade of this century, if you go start to finish. Obviously, you had some high-powered guys coming in mid-decade, but if you go start to finish,
yeah,
it's hard to top with San Luis' numbers and somebody who's a past Cup champion himself. So as far as some of the legacies involved of players here, in terms of some of the sexier names and angles, what are some of the top things that come to your mind, Russ, as far as points of interest?
Well, points of interest, I would say St. Louis is definitely a great guy to watch. Brad Richards is always a good one to watch if it's a Game 7 and a Game 1. Games 2 through 6, not so much. Nobody can really figure that out why, but that's just the way it is, and that's sort of where his career is at. Brian Boyle, of all guys, has really had a stellar playoffs, and he has certainly been a person that gets picked on by the Rangers, and probably the least reported part of Brian Boyle's connection to the Kings is he was a first-round draft pick of the Kings as a defenseman until he made the switch to offense. So nobody's really talking about that one, and I remember when I was at that draft and because I had watched him in college. And so he's been a guy that's been real good, real physical, a few points, but more of the puck possession part that that we talked about earlier. So that's something to watch. Dominic Moore has been maybe the Rangers' best guy last series. I mean, skating great. Now, he did reach his level of incompetence when Stepan was out and they put him as the top center. That was something that was just beyond what his capabilities are. But he's in the top 10 for faceoffs, and he and Boyle are about the only good faceoff guys the Rangers have. So it's good when those guys are on the ice and they're trying to face off. It's bad if Richards is. So that's something to watch because the Rangers can never see. Richards, one or a couple of the games, was around 28% on faceoff. So that's kind of bad. Boyle's also leading the Rangers or tied with the Rangers in hits. So he is playing more physical than people remember. He still doesn't go to the crease, but people would like that more. I'd like to see that more, but that doesn't happen a lot. But Kreider goes to the crease, and Kreider is a real problem. He's a matchup problem for the opposing defense and opposing goalies because everybody, you know, they all complained about the Carey Price thing, and he was trying to slow down. But let's face it, this time of year, everybody's going full speed into the net. It's just the way it is. And if something gets called, it gets called. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's the way these guys compete. And with his size and skill and speed, he does cause a huge matchup problem. Similarly to what Jeff Carter does, he's not the scorer that Carter is just yet, but he could turn into something pretty close. And so that's a big problem for anybody because he creates a lot of two-on-ones and he really does make the opposing defense pay attention. And I think that's a big deal, too, and that's something to keep an eye out.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned Game 7 there in passing. I got to tell you, if it comes to a Game 7, the Rangers are probably going to want to reserve the National Guard to put on Justin Williams because
no question.
It has just been absolutely insane, everything that he has been accomplishing here. Keith, what are your thoughts on this, on some of the top media angles with the players involved here and as it relates to, again, possibly back to the X's and O's, anything that interests you, but a lot of very, very, very intriguing names on both sides.
Well, you know, when Russ mentioned Brian Boyle, I almost couldn't listen anymore because I remember that the Kings had drafted Corey Perry ahead of him, and I'm still mad about that. So. You know, I think face-off-wise, you know, certainly the Kings haven't had a problem with that in the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, as far as media angles, the only thing I keep hearing, you know, from Kings media is, you know, Marion Gaborik coming back. And then, you know, from national media, it's, you know, Henrik Lundqvist versus the Kings. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to a great series with two stellar teams. And I think this is going to be a lot closer than most people think. And, you know, if there's going to be a hero for the series of the Rangers, it's going to be San Luis. I mean, the guy's playing with so much heart.
And when you have someone like that playing the way he is, given what just happened to him personally, that's a real force to be reckoned with. And that should definitely be scary for the Kings. And I think they're going to spend a lot of time figuring out how to defend him. You know, no disrespect to the rest of their offensive core, but, you know, it'll be very, very interesting to see.
I will add this, Rick, with definitely a great call. With Gabrick, there really is no animosity. The animosity was with Tortorella. It really wasn't with the teammates or the team. Where you saw Prust, there certainly was animosity with some former teammates. It's not that way with Gabrick. I'm sure Gabrick wants to show the New York crowd a little something, but he always wants to do well and show off anyhow. So I don't think that's going to really change.
Absolutely. And before we get to the predictions, I want to talk one more immediate thing with you guys, but just another name that as well that I should have mentioned there, but didn't when I was going through a lot of the notable guys, and that being, of course, Anze Kopitar, who is obviously being one of the better big game players and leaders in this generation as far as stars go. If he can win a second cup, that is going to be huge on his historical resume. But as far as it goes with the media angle, I'll start with you on this one, Russ, because this is from more of the New York side. This is what I don't really get. I understand that it's been 20 years since the Rangers have been there. I understand they're the flagship team in New York. But everyone acting like, oh, the Stanley Cup Finals is coming back to the New York area. It's been seven times since 1994. It was there 2 years ago. I understand that we're talking about Newark and the Meadowlands prior to that, but what accounts for this kind of ridiculous acting like this historical amnesia, at least as it appears here in flyover country, of people acting like the Stanley Cup hasn't been even remotely near New York in 20 years?
I really don't know. I unfortunately, growing up on the island, I saw the Stanley Cup too much as a Ranger fan growing up, seeing the Islanders winning it every year. So I'm not sure what that is. I just think it's – I think in this era of people with taking selfies and being self-important and everything else, what could be better than being seen at Madison Square Garden for the Stanley Cup if you want to sort of boost your own social presence? Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Well, the world's most famous arena. I guess that accounts for it. Keith, what are your thoughts on this, again, as far as a very rare New York and L.A. final, as I understand, in any sport, as I understand it, the first time since the 81 World Series. So, again,
and I guessed that the other night.
Play.
I just want to tell you, I guessed that the other night. So, somebody, I forget what I was on. Yeah, I did, because I sort of remembered that, and I said, yeah, I can't come up with anything else. So I'm glad to see that that was right. I was just guessing.
Oh, yeah, that is absolutely correct. And Keith, some similarities, again, in that it was L.A. against the New York area. It was New Jersey 2 years ago. So some similarities, I guess, as far as travel patterns and everything like that, at the very least. But what are your thoughts on what this is going to do for the league? This is, of course, your first year with StickTap TV and covering the broader league beyond the Kings. I know that you were covering the broader league previously, but with a bigger focus here, what are your thoughts on what a series like this is going to do for the NHL and trying to capitalize on it?
Well, I think Gary Bettman is just enjoying counting his money right now in the NHL offices up in New York. And I'll tell you, the New York Rangers are a much sexier team than the New Jersey Devils. I mean, I remember, you know, covering the Kings-Devils series. I was like, okay, you know, this is great that the Stanley Cup, you know, could be coming to Los Angeles, but does it really have to be the New Jersey Devils after all of that? So, you know, you have your Broadway versus
LA. Hey, how do you think we
felt
in the press box eating chips and dip at a Stanley Cup? But we were. We weren't happy. By the way, we were not happy.
Exactly. So, you know, I think Broadway versus L.A., it's cool. You know, it's cool even for me, and I'm a cynic when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know, I think it's great. You know, I think, you know, finally Los Angeles has a team outside of the Los Angeles Lakers that somebody people can cheer for out here. So I think there is going to be a lot of glitz and stuff like that. There'll be a lot more celebrity sightings at both arenas, you know, probably than all finals combined. You know, post-lockout. So it'll be really, really interesting to see. And I think that if anyone's going to play it up, Gary Bettman's going to make sure it gets as much TV time as possible so he can milk it for all it's worth.
I was right there with you 2 years ago, Keith. I wanted it to be this matchup, as a general hockey fan and knowing that there would be more excitement. And, again, there's a lot more excitement with the Rangers and the composition of the team than with the Devils, and also B, candidly, a little bit of a grudge still from 95. I don't like the Devils, never have. So, yeah, I wanted to see the same thing. I got shut out on that. We all did, but we're getting this matchup 2 years later when we had a chance to make it happen, and that's what it's going to be. All right, prediction time, gentlemen. I'll put mine out there first. I'm going to say Kings in six. I think it will be a very hard-fought series. Most of the games, I think, very close. Again, if it goes seven, there's going to be the obvious angle there of what the Kings are trying to do as far as making history. But I do think that they can do it. But I will go with the Kings in six. What do you think, Russ?
I've got Kings in seven. I think they might start off a little slow. I'm not going to say they're winded or tired. Look, these guys are professional athletes. We know it. But as a team, maybe they'll be a little off their game. And so if the Rangers could win game one, that at least would give them a little bit of a foothold in this series. If they lose game one, then it could go earlier. But I'll go Rangers in not Rangers. I'll go Kings in seven.
Okay. Yeah, Freudian slip there. I'm sure you'd be
yep.
happy if you were wrong on the outcome. Keith, what are your thoughts? Keith, you stand to be the guy that will be happy if probably what your head is telling you, because I got to believe your head and your heart are aligned on this one.
Yeah, you know, I think so. And I do see the Rangers actually taking game one. You know, I think so many people have the Los Angeles Kings are going to win this, but I think the Rangers are going to pull some surprises. That said, I think you have to, because the teams are so evenly matched, I do think you have to give the edge to the Kings forward core. You know, just as a hockey fan, I'd love to see this go to seven, and I have to say Kings in seven.
I have to say, too, the similarities extend even one more way, and I've heard this thrown around a little bit. Am I right, Keith, that there are some people that have kind of referred to the Staples Center as sort of the MSG of the West Coast? I understand that there have been a lot of people that have kind of pointed to that in the last 12 to 13 years, and that's what they've tried to do, and that's what they've tried to model it after. Is that a fairly common thing for it to be referred to that way? Because I think I've heard that.
I have never heard that until you just uttered it right now.
Oh, okay.
You know, I've been to MSG, and as much as I love Staples, Staples is no MSG, doesn't have that history. So
I like Staples.
Maybe that's
I've been
what
there. I do like
going
it.
For. I don't see it, no.
The Staples Center
right,
has
so
good media
heard...
food, though. They do. They have very good media food at Staples Center, so they got marks with me.
What I heard was completely
erroneous.
Well,
they tend to up their game as the series go.
Well, on that point, Russ, I will tell you, and for anybody who follows our good friend Lloyd Carroll from the Queens Chronicle, that is sort of the end-all and be-all. Lloyd has been doing nothing but crowing on Facebook for the last week about what the spread is going to be like an MSG and rooting
it's
for
disgusting.
Six games at least. Yeah, so that will be very interesting to see how it plays out. But, again, a great preview here with you gentlemen, as I knew it would be. Look forward to convening with you folks again here some point in the near future. Thank you so much for a great conversation today, gentlemen.
All right, thanks, guys.
Great to talk to you again. Thanks, boys.
Thanks very much, and thank you all, everybody, for tuning in today.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IAmBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.